How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? He would as much as he could and chuck as much wood as a woodchuck would if a woodchuck could chuck wood. That's why you need Woodchuck's tree trimming service. Call us today. No job too big or too small. Is that tree in your yard blocking your view of a great sunrise? Or are the roses getting out of control? This year we are offering a maintenance plan for your morning wood and keeping the bush trimmed. Woodchuck's tree service, don't beat around the bush. Instead, let us do it for you.
Due to the extreme nature of this program, listener discretion is advised. The subject matters may include topics of substance usage, sex, historical events that may be sensitive to some listeners, and foul language. Things discussed may not be considered politically correct in this overly sensitive environment. They may not be appropriate for listeners under the age of 13. As well as some listeners may find things offensive no matter the age, again, listener discretion is advised.
This is the story of a time long ago, a time of myth and legend, when the ancient generations were petty and cruel. Only one generation dared to challenge their power. Generation X. Generation X possessed a strength the world had never seen, a strength surpassed only by the power to shape the world. They journeyed the earth, battling the minions of the wicked generations, millennials and Generation Z, the all-powerful whiny snowflakes. But wherever there was evil, wherever an innocent life would suffer, there would be GXO.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the next episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. I'm Robert Pop, coming to you from beautiful Podunk, Nebraska. Hi, it's Rob. You may not know this about me, but I suffer from both severe depression and high anxiety. I have tried several different ways to treat these things that sometimes run my life. I've isolated, medicated, therapied, and they all help to a degree. But recently I found a treatment that, if used responsibly, can be effective in my day-to-day life. Some days require only one dose. Then there are days that I have to self-care several times a day. Fuck it all! The newest emotion stabilizer. It's not a pill or even a suppository. It is, however, orally consumed. Boss piss you off? Fuck it all. Spouse being a dumbass? Fuck it all! Unexpected bill hit your checking account? Fuck it all! Life has been consistently getting harder for everyone over the last several years, with inflated gas and grocery prices, housing shortages, so on and so on. And if you are like most Americans, myself included, you've tried to self-medicate either with alcohol and or drugs to help change your frame of mind. But I have the answer right here, right now. Just fuck it all. Dr. Dean Gulberry, doctor and research scientist into human emotional behavior and the inventor of the newest and greatest mood-enhancing treatments around, really helps you to focus on an overall solution. Fuck it all. Trust me, fuck it all is starting to change my life, and it may do the same for you. This product has not yet been approved by the FDA.
The views and opinions expressed are just that, Rob's views and opinions. He is not always politically correct, and they may not match up with your own opinions. It is not his intentions to offend anyone. Hopefully you find the shows entertaining and informative as well. Please note, Rob is not a professional historian, but he has done a lot of research for this show. With that being said, mistakes happen, but he will do his best to minimize those. Keep in mind, Rob is just some nut with a microphone.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to this week's episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. This week, jumping in that old time machine, going back to talk about the musical group Bare Naked Ladies. But first, here's our history lesson. In the Soviet Union, or actually I should say the former Soviet Union over in Russia, Boris Yeltsin was leading things. Here in the United States, oh yeah, you know I'm here. This was a hell of a year for me. I had a little honey in the freaking Oval Office. Oh my God, that was fun. Yes, thank you, President Bill Clinton. United Kingdom Prime Minister Tony Blair was sitting on the on the big chair. Top headlines for that year: search engine Google was founded. FDA said, hey, you know what old people need boners too, so they approved Viagra. Apple unveiled the iMac. In China, the Yangtze River breaks through its main bank. The death toll was more than 12,000 and injuring many more thousands. Man, that's horrible. 66-day blackout in New Zealand. The Serbs battle ethnic Albanians in Kosovo. Serbs renew attack on Kosovo rebels later on that year. NATO, on the verge of airstrikes, reaches a settlement with Slobodan Milosevic. Say that with me. That's just a great name. He's a dick. He's a dick, but it's a fun name to say. Slobodan Milosevic. Just kind of rolls right off the tongue. Reaches a settlement with Milosevic. India conducted 3 atomic tests despite the worldwide disapproval. I don't think of these two as nuclear powers. India, and then later on, Pakistan staged 5 nuclear tests in response. Well, you can't fucking blame them. But, oh my God, I really don't think about those two countries as being world powers with the button. I just don't. Ted Kaczynski, he was sentenced to 4 life terms. Matthew Shepard, this was a horrible, horrible crime that happened. They touted this as being a gay hate crime. And I don't care whether Matthew was gay or not. But to have your son, your friend, fatally beaten by 2 guys. Yeah, I don't remember what happened to these 2, but I hope to God they're still in prison. And I hope somebody made them their little gay bitches. I really do. Bubba's in there saying, oh, you got a pretty mouth. I really hope so. Really hope so. U.S. launched cruise missiles against Al-Qaeda training camps at Afghanistan. Terrorist bombing attacks at 2 U.S. embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam, killing 250 people. After many years of troubles in Northern Ireland, both sides agreed to the Good Friday Peace Agreement. Well, good for them. Splinter terrorist organization, the real IRA, plant a massive car bomb on August 15th in Northern Ireland, killing 27. Yeah. The Soviet Union banking system suffers a meltdown when the ruble lost 70% of its value against the U.S. dollar in 6 months. Wow, that is just a fucking loss. With several of the largest Russian banks collapsing, UNICEF reports that there are approximately 250 million child laborers worldwide. Gen Xers, do you remember going out on Halloween with your little cardboard box, trick-or-treat for UNICEF? I do. I don't know why. I always did it. I was like the second round. You know, you go out, you get all your candy, and then you go back, and you're like, trick-or-treat for UNICEF. And then they're like, you know, all these old ladies are opening up their little coin purses, and you're like, okay, let me see what I have. Well, here's a nickel. Okay, and you feed them for a whole month on that nickel. The assembly of the ISS, the International Space Station, began. The Winter Olympic Games are held in Nagano, Japan. That's a fun name to say, too. Nagano. The financial crisis hit much of Southeast Asia that year. World's biggest airport opened in Hong Kong. Official famine in southern Sudan is declared, with an estimated 1 million or more people could die that year of starvation. Fuck me. You know, there's a lot of bad ways to go. I can't imagine starving to death. I mean, I'm a fat guy. I got lots of fucking surplus here. I got a lot in the reserves. So I could live for a while. But man, That is just, that's a horrible way to go. U.S. announced the first budget surplus in 30 years. Nice job, Bill. Oh, yeah. You know what I was cutting? I was cutting all kinds of shit. Oh, yeah. You know, Nancy, she had all them, you know, all them rooms in the freaking White House remodeled so that when there, they could live there. Oh, yeah. You know, well, me and Hillary, we were from fucking Arkansas. I mean, you know, fuck, we could have lived in a fucking trailer house out back. Thank you. We'll hear from more from you a little bit later on, President Clinton. Tornadoes in central Florida destroy or damage 2,600 structures and kill 42. Forest fires in Florida force 120,000 people to flee their homes. Damn. Osama bin Laden. That is a name that just still just rises so much hatred in my soul. He published fatwa declaring jihad against all Jews and crusaders. That fucker was not taken out soon enough. I just, yeah. And he was done too humanely. Honestly, if you ask me, he should have been staked in the fucking desert, arms spread wide, pour honey on his ass, and let the fucking bugs just eat him alive. Just an idea. Islamic extremists attack two villages in Algeria and massacre 400 local villagers. What the fuck? What the hell did these people in Algeria do to you? Oh, my God. Two boys, Mitchell Johnson, 13, and Andrew Golden, 11, shoot and kill four fellow students in Jonesboro, Arkansas. The Tobacco Master Settlement Agreement is signed between tobacco companies in the U.S., becoming the largest civil settlement in the United States history. The two oil companies, Exxon and Mobil, merged to create the world's largest petroleum company. Thank you for that. These gas prices that we're dealing with now are a fucking result of that. So, thanks. Microsoft becomes the biggest company in the world, estimated value at $261 billion in 98. Holy crap. And that was according to the New York Stock Exchange. Low-flying U.S. military jet severs a cable at a ski lift in Italy, killing 20 people. Oh, my God. What the fuck were they doing flying so low in Italy anyway? Like the fucking Italian. What are they trying to do? Get the freaking recipe for Carrabba's, you know, breadsticks or some shit? What the fuck was that? An oil pipeline running through a village in Nigeria explodes and kills 700 people, with the resulting fire burning for nearly a week. Iraq prevents UN weapons inspectors from conducting a search, and President Clinton orders a series of airstrikes against Iraq. Speaking of President Clinton, Bill, do you want to tell us what happened? You know, I'd still love to just tell you guys what happened, but, you know, that year they said, oh, my God, he had something to do with this little honey in the White House. But I said, no, I did not have sexual relations with that woman at all. And then after I got found out, I admitted it. You know, I said, hey, you know, if you're going to go to the press with this, I might as well just come clean. But in my defense, you have seen Hillary, right? I mean, my God, I mean, the one time I had sex with that woman, you know, you've seen my daughter. Oh, my God. She's as ugly as her mom. Oh, God. See, you can't really blame me for wanting to get a piece of strange out there. Oh, yeah. I was impeached. And they said that I lied. So, and I had obstruction of justice. And I don't know where getting a piece of ass is an obstruction of justice. But, yeah, that's what I was charged with. And then the next year,
I was acquitted. You ain't getting rid of me. Oh, that's funny.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Clinton. An estimated 76 million viewers watched the last episode of Seinfeld. Titanic captured a record-tying 11 Academy Awards that year. And the Athena probe finds frozen water on the moon. Scientists say ice crystals mixed with the soil could provide fuel for rockets exploring the solar system. Don't thaw anything from another planet. Just don't do it. Every fucking sci-fi movie that's out there has showed us don't do that. Notable deaths that year, Gene Autry, the singing cowboy, he passed away. Sonny Bono, he wrapped his ass around a tree. He used to be married to Cher, and then he became some type of congressman, I think is what it was. So Flo-Jo, a former Olympic athlete, she passed away. Frank Sinatra, old Blue Eyes himself, he passed away. Junior Wells, he was a blues icon, he passed away. Roddy McDowell, he was quite the icon for a lot of B stuff. He was in Planet of the Apes. He was in Fright Night. Yeah, just a great actor. Lloyd Bridges passed away. Phil Hartman, unfortunately, he fell victim to a very, very disturbed wife. She killed him and then killed herself. Jack Lord from Hawaii Five-0, he passed away. Norman Fell and Mr. Roper, he passed away. Mary Fran, she was on Newhart, she passed away. E.G. Marshall, he was big into radio and that type of stuff, but he passed away. Esther Rawl, she passed away. She was on Good Times. Roy Rogers passed away. Mae Questel, she played Aunt Bethany on Christmas Vacation. She passed away. Flip Wilson, Sherry Lewis with Lamb Chop. She passed away. Tammy Wynette, Grandpa Jones, Jerry Clower, all country greats. They passed away. That fucknut over in Cambodia, Pol Pot, he died. Thank God for that. Falco, the guy who sang Rock Me Amadeus, he died. James Earl Ray, assassin, he died. And Doris Day, she passed away. Cost of living in 1998. Average cost of a new house, $129,300. Average income, $38,100. Average rent, $619. Average gallon of gas, $1.15. Wow. Average cost of a new car, $17.2. Postage stamp, 32 cents. Pound of bacon, $2.53. Pound of hamburger, $1.40. Loaf of bread, $1.26. And a dozen eggs, 88 cents. In the music store, top five songs in the U.S. Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden. Too Close by Next. You're Still the One by Shania Twain. The Boy Is Mine by Brandy and Monica, and All My Life by Casey and JoJo. I like a few of those songs. Top five songs on the R&B chart. Nobody's Supposed to Be Here by Deborah Cox. Don't think I've ever heard that. Love Like This by Faith Evans. Lately by Divine. Hard Knock Life, the ghetto anthem by Jay-Z. And Friend of Mine by Kelly Price. I like Kelly Price. The only bad thing is I heard she is quite the diva. And a lot of people won't work with her. Maybe that's the reason why she didn't go much past the 90s. Top five songs on the country chart. You're Easy on the Eyes by Terry Clark. And I would have to agree. Terry Clark is easy on the eyes. Husbands and Wives by Brooks and Dunn. And Someone You Used to Know by Colin Ray. Honey, I'm Home, and I Had a Hard Day by Shania Twain, and Wide Open Spaces by the Dixie Chicks. Top five songs on the One Hit Wonder chart. Salty Balls, Chocolate Salty Balls from Chef from South Park. Are You Jimmy Ray by Jimmy Ray. Sex and Candy by Marcy's Playground. Torn by Natalie Imbruglia. Closing Time by Semisonic. On the crime beat, I want to tell you about Joshua Earl Patrick Phillips. He was convicted of murder as a child. So here's what happened. In November 1998, when he was 14 years old, Phillips killed Maddie Clifton, his 8-year-old friend and neighbor. According to Phillips, on November 3rd, 1998, he was home alone when Maddie Clifton, who lived across the road from the Phillips, came to his house asking him to come outside and play baseball. Phillips agreed, even though he was not allowed to have friends over while his parents were not home. As the two were playing baseball, Phillips accidentally hit the ball into Clifton's eye, causing her to bleed, cry, and scream. Phillips panicked, knowing his father would be home soon and fearing his reaction. Phillips dragged Clifton into his house, saying that the clothing came off Clifton's lower body as he did so, and he hit her with the baseball bat to stop her from screaming before putting her under the base of his bed. When Steve returned home, Phillips interacted with him for a period of time before returning to his room. When Phillips discovered that Clifton was still alive and moaning under his bed, he removed the mattress, cut her throat, and stabbed her in the chest 7 times with the knife from a Leatherman tool, killing her. Clifton's disappearance was reported around 5 p.m. that day. Police and volunteers searched for Clifton for 6 days. Phillips even participated in the search. He later stated he spent the following week living in denial, saying, "I was putting myself in a fantasy world that nothing had happened. That was my defense mechanism for everything when I was a kid. I never made the decision to ignore it. I just did." On November 10th, Melissa Phillips went into her son's room and noticed a wet spot on the floor. She searched the room and found Clifton's body, immediately leaving the house to report the incident to the police. Phillips was arrested later that day at his school and confessed to the murder within hours. Phillips was tried as an adult. The trial started on July 6, 1999, and lasted only 2 days, an unusually short time due to the defense, calling no witnesses. Jurors took just over 2 hours to convict Phillips of first-degree murder. He was later sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. He was not eligible for the death penalty, as he was under 16. During the trial, the defense attempted to introduce scans from a neurologist showing bilateral lesions on the frontal lobe of Phillips' brain, which are associated with panic and impaired judgment. While the prosecution wanted to discuss evidence, Phillips had looked at pornography on his computer. The judge, however, ruled both pieces of evidence inadmissible. Phillips completed his general educational development in prison, although he was initially told he was too young to do it, and later took college classes by correspondence. Phillips works as a paralegal in prison, assisting other inmates with their appeals, and also works as a tutor for inmates. He also plays guitar in a band and participates in Christian religious services and yoga. During his 2017 appeal, the prosecution acknowledged that Phillips had been a model prisoner. As of 2008, Phillips declined to write a letter of apology to Clifton's family, saying they deserved an apology from him in person, as they would not be able to see his sincerity in a letter. Clifton's mother subsequently stated she had no interest in talking to Phillips. As of 2024, Phillips is imprisoned in the Cross City Correctional Institution. Well, that is really fucked up. It sounds to me like this kid was kind of bright. Just a shame. In the movie theater we were watching, A Bug's Life, Armageddon, great movie, basketball. This movie was so dumb. Black Dog, great movie. Bride of Chucky, City of Angels, and A Civil Action. Dead Man on Campus, that was terrible. Deep Impact. Dr. Doolittle, Enemy of the State, Ever After, the Faculty. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Godzilla. Great Expectations, Halloween H2O. Home Fries with Drew Barrymore, she's been a Hollywood crush of mine forever. Hope Floats, The Horse Whisperer, How Stella Got Her Groove Back, Jack Frost, Lost in Space that was horrible. However, Netflix did a whole series, which was fucking awesome. The Man in the Iron Mask, great movie. The Mask of Zorro, Meet Joe Black, The Mighty Joe Young, Les Miserables, A Night at the Roxbury, The Parent Trap, Patch Adams, Pleasantville, a Pokemon the first movie, Primary Colors, Psycho Remake, that was a terrible idea, Ringmaster with Jerry Springer, this movie sucks so bad, Rush Hour, Rushmore, Saving Private Ryan, Simon Birch, 6 Days, 7 Nights, Small Soldiers, Snake Eyes, Stepmom. There's something about Mary at the Big Lebowski, the Thin Red Line, and the Truman Show, fucking Jim Carrey movie, Urban Legend, The Waterboy, The Wedding Singer, What Dreams May Come, that was a fucked up movie, X-Files movie. You've got Mail, and on TV that year, Becker, I liked this one with Ted Danson, Bobcat's Big Ass Show, that sucked, Cat Dog Fuck Me, I hated this cartoon for only one reason. The thought of how this creature poops just grosses me out. CBS Kid Show, Celebrity Deathmatch, that was weird. City Confidential, The Closer, Cold War. Comedy Central presents back when Comedy Central was funny, Dawson's Creek. I fucking hated this show. Fantasy Island, 1998, this was horrible. The FBI Files, Felicity, oh how I hated this show. Godzilla the series. Hercules loved this show, in case you can't guess by the opening. Hollywood Squares, The Howie Mandel Show. The King of Queens, Love Boat, The Next Wave. This was a disappointment. Love Connection. Penn and Teller's Sin City Spectacular. Pinky and the Brain. Power Rangers in Space. The Powerpuff Girls. The Roseanne Show. Sex in the City, fucking Sarah Jessica Parker. I hate this show. The Simple Life, dear God, I hated this fucking waste. That 70s Show, loved this show. Two Guys and a Girl, and our topic for today, the bare naked ladies, so stick around after a few words from my fake sponsors.
This portion of the show is brought to you by GXO Tour and Travel. Booking trips to areas that aren't as bad as what you've heard.
Welcome to Arkansas, where visitors can enjoy water sports like kayaking, canoeing, and floating on the White River. Not only are the water sports spectacular, the fishing is world class. Whether looking to land striper, trout, walleye, or a huge catfish, the waters in the mountain home area are always stocked. Come take time to relax and enjoy what we have to offer, and to be part of our down home family, and see we ain't all backwards ass country fucks. To book your trip to Arkansas, contact Ben Dover or Andy Kornholer, part of our expert team at GXO Tour and Travel.
Any claims of time travel are purely fictitious and are only meant for entertainment purposes. And honestly, if you believe Rob can travel through time, I only have one question for you. What the hell is wrong with you?
Welcome back from that break. Today we are going to discuss what I think is a very underrated band of the 1990s. The Bare Naked Ladies. They are a Canadian rock band formed in 1988. The band developed a following in Canada with their self-titled 1991 cassette becoming the first independent release to be certified gold in Canada. The Bare Naked Ladies began as the duo of Ed Robertson and Stephen Page.
The two went to school together.
The full band's first commercial release was 1991's The Yellow Tape,
a demo tape originally created for the band's performance at South by Southwest. It was the first recording to feature all five members and cost them $3,000. They sent copies to all the labels in Canada. All of them refused. And as they began selling more and more copies off the stage, through word-of-mouth, people began asking for the tape in local stores. When retailers began asking the band for more tapes, the demo became a commercial release. Sales began to snowball based merely on word-of-mouth and their live shows. During this era, the band garnered radio airplay with a live cover of Dean Friedman's McDonald's Girl, which included a rap break incorporating lyrics from Beastie Boys' Hey Ladies. Another major break for the band came in November 1991 when Bare Naked Ladies contributed a cover of Bruce Cockburn's Lovers in a Dangerous Time to the Cockburn tribute album Kick at the Darkness. The song became the band's first top 40 hit in Canada. Fast forward to the United States, the band released Born on a Pirate Ship in 1996. The album received two large boosts from the song Shoebox on the Friends soundtrack, and from the Jason Priestley-directed video, The Old Apartment. Love that song. It got notable U.S. airplay. They performed The Old Apartment, Life in a Nutshell, and Brian Wilson at the Peach Pit After Dark Nightclub. From two dates on the Born on a Pirate Ship tour during 1996, Bare Naked Ladies recorded and released a live album called Rock Spectacle, which had a modest American radio hit with Brian Wilson. The album became the band's first gold record in the United States, and the success of Brian Wilson and The Old Apartment led to a new situation for the band. They knew their next album would be their chance to make it big in the States. Stunt in 1998 became their greatest mainstream success, buoyed by the single One Week, which spent, coincidentally, 1 week at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Stunt reached number three on the U.S. Billboard, 200 and number nine in Canada. Kevin Hearn was diagnosed with leukemia shortly after the album was released, eventually receiving bone marrow transplants from his brother and missing most of the stunt tour. The band toured with Friends, Chris Brown, and Greg Kirsten, both filling in on keyboards, until Hearn recovered enough to rejoin them on tour. The singles It's All Been Done and Call and Answer were also modest hits. The band was asked to contribute a song, Get in Line, to the soundtrack of the cartoon King of the Hill. Bare Naked Ladies also had a guest appearance in a 1999 episode of Two Guys, a Girl in a Pizza Place. Led by the Pinch Me single, in the U.S. Maroon in the year 2000 did not perform as well as Stunt had, reaching only number five on the Billboard Top 100, however, it topped the Canadian charts. In 2001, they released a compilation album entitled Disc One, All Their Greatest Hits, 1991-2001, referencing a line from Box Set. It contained 15 singles from previous albums, two singles from other compilations, and two new tracks, dubbed Our New Greatest Hits by Robertson during the subsequent tour. Over the next several years, they enjoyed some moderately successful albums. In 2007, the band wrote and recorded the theme song for the television series The Big Bang Theory. On the 6th of May, 2008, the band released Snack Time, an album of original material aimed at children. Complications began in July 2008 when the band canceled several appearances at several Disney Music Block Party concerts following Page's arrest on allegations of cocaine possession. In August, Robertson crashed his single-engine plane without casualty, and his mother died that December. Band members lamented how the events of the year marred their 20th anniversary festivities. On the 24th of February 2009, Bare Naked Ladies and Stephen Page separately announced that Page had left the band by mutual agreement. The remaining members continued as a quartet, while Page pursued some solo projects, including theatrical opportunities. In July, it was announced the band had left network management and had hired the newly merged management firm Cam 8. Robertson commented on the departure of one of the band's founding members. Our relationship with Steve Page was great and very fruitful. It lasted almost 20 years, but it was time to move on. Now we're doing something that feels really fresh and exciting to me. His departure left four singers and three multi-instrumentalists in the band, so we're not lacking for musical ideas. and now there's more room for the other writers in the band to bring songs to the table. When asked about Page's departure, Tyler Stewart said, "We don't keep in touch, but we wish him the best." And there's goodwill there. In October 2010, Page stated that he has no plans to rejoin the band soon, other than a possible one-off performance. He added that it felt strange the group continued to use the same name and perform the songs that he wrote and performed. Page commented in August 2011 that around the subsequent time of his arrest for cocaine possession, the band was no longer the joyous place that it once was. But it hadn't been joyous for a long time before that. "It wasn't that we didn't put on good shows. We still had a great time on stage every night," he added. "But it became a place where work was just about the stress and not the end product." In September 2015, TMZ uncovered court documents showing that Page sued Robertson over the Big Bang Theory theme song, alleging that he was promised 20% of the proceeds, but Robertson kept the money. Bare Naked Ladies was commissioned to compose the original score for a musical based on National Lampoon's Animal House. The project was announced in early 2012. However, by mid-2013, the band had been dropped from the production. Bare Naked Ladies released their second live album, BNL Rocks Red Rocks, on the 20th of May, 2016. It was recorded at Red Rocks Amphitheater on the Last Summer on Earth 2015 tour. The band also held a Last Summer on Earth 2016 tour with orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark and Howard Jones in conjunction with the new live album. BNL Rocks Red Rocks is the band's first commercial live release since the departure of Page in 2009. March 2018, the band was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame at the Juno Awards in Vancouver. The band performed alongside former members Stephen Page and Andy Cregan. This was Page's first performance with the band since his departure in 2009. Despite his presence at the ceremony, Andy Cregan was not inducted into the hall with the other five members. Though there are reportedly no plans for another reunion, neither side has ruled it out. On September 15th, 2023, the band released their 14th studio album, In Flight, which included the singles Lovin' Life and One Night. The album has received mixed reviews since its release. Bare Naked Ladies have an authorized biography, which was released in 2001, titled Public Stunts, Private Stories, written by a friend of the band and fellow Scarborough native, Paul Myers, with input from the band. The band has also become a proponent of environmentalism, following from Page's passion for greening. Bare Naked Ladies is the first Canadian band to receive their own ice cream flavor, following in the footsteps of other band-themed Ben & Jerry's flavors, such as Cherry Garcia, in honor of Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead, One Sweet World and Magic Brownies, in honor of the Dave Matthews Band, and Fish Food, after the band Fish with a PH. Bare Naked Ladies are a member of Canadian Charity Artists Against Racism, and has worked with them in the past on awareness campaigns. Bare Naked Ladies have supported hunger relief organization Rock Can Roll, and together with their fans have helped to feed people in need. I like to hear that too many times, artists, or really people in general, and they forget to give back. Wow, what a great group of guys. Tyler Stewart, Jim Cregan, Kevin Hearn, and Ed Robertson all have past or present side projects during their time off from Bare Naked Ladies. Stewart was part of a short live trio called Don't Talk Dance, which released a self-titled album in 1995 featuring Chris Brown, who later sat in for Hearn with Bare Naked Ladies during his late 90s cancer treatment.
The album was made for charity, and all profits went to Casey House, an AIDS charity in Canada. Stewart also plays occasionally with the rockabilly band Pogo Rodeo, which he first joined in high school. The band reunited in the early 2010s and has since played occasional concerts. Jim Cregan formed the alternative jazz group The Brothers Cregan with brother and former Bare Naked Ladies member Andy Cregan, later joined by Ian McLaughlin, who died in 2009. The group recorded four albums between 1995 and 2002. The group stopped performing regularly in the mid-2000s and have only played together on rare occasions, such as for Bare Naked Ladies cruises. Andy Cregan also has several solo albums, with the most recent one released in 2021. Since 1995, Kevin Hearn has released four albums as the frontman of Kevin Hearn and Thin Buckle, and three others with solo billing with members of Thin Buckle as well as other musicians backing him in. Hearn's albums feature a mix of alternative rock and jazz with many other eclectic influences. Hearn continues to perform in the Toronto area and occasionally tours with Thin Buckle. Hearn was also the musical director and keyboardist for Lou Reed's band from the mid-2000s until Reed's passing in October 2013. He has also released an album of love songs as The Cousins in 2004 with his cousin, comedian Harland Williams. Robertson joined a supergroup called Yukon Cornelius in 2008 with Dave Matthews' band bass player, Stefan Lessard, singer-guitarist Adam Gardner of Guster, and drummer Eric Fawcett of Spy Mob. To date, the band has played four shows, but they anticipate doing a short tour when work with their other bands permit. Special guests usually join Yukon Cornelius during their shows, including Dee Snider of Twisted Sister, Carl Bell, formerly of Fuel, Tyler Stewart, and other members of the Dave Matthews Band. Robertson also hosted three seasons of the 2006 television program called Ed's Up for OLN, Canada, in which he flew his own plane to various locations to experience and publicize a variety of interesting occupations. Former member Stephen Page had a side project called The Vanity Project. The first self-titled album was written mostly with longtime collaborator Stephen Duffy in the wake of a band decision to try to keep songwriting amongst its then five members. Page said that the project was an opportunity for him to write with non-Bare Naked Ladies writers. He indicated that a future release might include other writers and not necessarily Duffy. However, Page did not record a second Vanity Project album before his departure from Bare Naked Ladies and has released his post-Bare Naked Ladies works in his own name. Page has also hosted a season of the reality television series The Illegal Eater, which features Page traveling to showcase food and drink experiences that are in some way taboo, illicit, or outright illegal. Also, band members, both individually and together, have often collaborated with other artists, such as making guest appearances on their albums, performing live, or co-writing songs with them. In December 2008, Paul McCartney was reportedly asked by a session musician which bands he enjoys in the current music scene. His response was, "Bare Naked Ladies. Their harmonies are right on. They could out-sing us any day of the week. I don't think John and myself ever had the sort of range they do." McCartney added that he would not mind recording with the band in the future. Okay, y'all know I am not a Beatles fan by any stretch, but for Paul McCartney to say that, well, that's really fucking cool. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode and will join me again next week. Thanks for listening.
This has been Generation Extraordinary. The views and opinions are Rob's and Rob's alone. Any claims of time travel are purely fictional. The music and audio clips are not Rob's or GXO's, and in most cases were downloaded through his paid YouTube subscription and are only used for entertainment purposes. GXO is a production of Pulpy Enterprises. Its host, creator, producer, and editor is Robert Pop. Co-producer is Harley Quinn. If you are a fan of the show, please show your support by going on to Spotify and follow us, like and share. It seems like such a small thing to do, but it really does help. For more information, support, suggestions, or to contact us, go to the website www.genxord.com. Thanks for listening.